Miscellaneous reading hotkeys. As you use applications, you will find that simply reading relative to the mouse and cursor is not enough. WindowEyes offers a great deal of options that you can use to read information. This tutorial will cover some of the more common commands. You should refer to the WindowEyes User's Manual for a complete list. Again, we will be using WordPad as our example application. So I'm sitting at the desktop with WindowEyes running under Windows Vista. So I'm going to do a Windows key to bring up the Start menu.
Start menu. Start search. Edit box.
I'm going to type in WordPad.
D. WordPad. Program group. 1 of 1.
Vista found it right away. I'm going to hit enter.
Document WordPad. Rich text window. Rich edit.
And let me just type some test. Just a one-line sentence here.
A. E. F. T. Space. E. Space. F. O. L.
Let's just see what the line is. With Control Numpad 5 to read the current line, that was from a previous section.
This is a test for the MISC reading hotkeys tutorial.
Okay. But a lot of these keys we did talk about in other sections, but we want to kind of group them together in this one particular section. Remember the application help. That's always a good one to bring up context-sensitive help. If I press Control Shift question mark.
Generic control information G. A rich edit control is similar to an edit box in that it is a rectangular area that contains...
I'm going to silence that with control, but this brought up the context-sensitive help for WordPad. Now, we don't have any default text for this, so what it came up was generic information for a rich edit, and it's telling you how you can interact inside of a rich edit. So even though it's in WordPad, a rich edit's still a rich edit, and it's just telling you how you can navigate around and use some keystrokes to do that. But the nice thing about the application help, if you remember from previous sections, is that I can actually change some of the text. If I wanted to give WordPad some help, I can, let me do a shift tab back one time. I'm holding shift down and hitting tab inside my application help dialog.
Help applies to application A, radio button, checked, 3 of 3.
This says help applies to, and in my case it said application. I'm on three of three, there are three radio buttons, and I'm on the third radio button is another way to say that. If I want to type in some text, if I were to shift tab one more time, it's going to allow me to type some text. Now that text can be relative to the application I'm in this case WordPad. It can be relevant to the dialog I'm in. Now I'm not really in a dialog, so it doesn't make sense to select that option here. Or it can be within the control that I'm in within that dialog. And I could set that up as well, or the window that I'm in. So if I wanted to do it only when WordPad edit box had focus, I would select control. If I'm in, let's say, the font dialog and I wanted to put some specific help for that to remind me how I can do something, then I would select dialog. Or I can just have it set for application in this case. No matter where I'm at, it will bring up the application help. Now, when WindowEyes is requested to bring up the application help dialog, it first looks to see, is there a specific help content for the control I'm in? So it first looks there, and if it is, it uses that. If there's not a control help information typed specifically for the control that has focus, then it says, okay, what about the dialog that has focus? Is there any help for that? And if there is, it will use that and display it. And if it doesn't have that, then it says, okay, what about the application? Is there any help? So that's how you can actually get very specific to a control, and it will just bubble up until it goes all the way to the application to actually display some help. But this allows you to go in and define the help the way you want it, or refine the help the way you want it if there already is some help. So in my case, I'm going to leave it application, but I'm going to go ahead and shift tab back up one more time to go to the edit box.
Application information, edit box.
This is where it allows me to type in some information, and I can say, don't forget about read, let's say read to end, control shift
R.
So if I read that line,
don't forget about read to end, control shift R.
That's just some help that I said, I love this command, but I can never remember what it is. Well, I could put that in some context sensitive help. Now, of course, I have to remember what that hotkey is, which is control shift question mark. So this isn't necessarily the best example of how you would use it, but you get the idea, I hope. Now, also, when I talked about those three radio buttons, remember, you can switch between those three radio buttons at any time. So even though you bring it up in a control that did have specific help, you could still go down to the radio button and say, well, now show me the dialog help, or now show me the application help. But I'm going to go ahead and leave an application. I'm going to hit enter because save is my default button in this dialog. And I could verify that by hitting the delete key on the numeric keypad. Let me hit delete on numeric keypad.
Default save as button.
So the default button is save, which just means if I hit enter, I could save it. Now, actually, here's a good case where that doesn't work. And just as I was about to hit enter, I thought, well, maybe that's not always the case. There's never, it always seems when you're using computers, there's never a 100% rule that works 100% of the time. I'm inside of an edit box where I can type text. Well, part of what I can type is an enter key. So if I were to hit enter, even though save is the default button in this dialog, enter is actually being used by the focused control, allowing me to put a blank line in my text, for example, or just a hard return inside my text. So I can't actually hit enter right there, but I could hit Alt-S because Alt-S is the shortcut to save, or I could actually tab out. Now, tab is the exception to the rule when I'm inside of an edit box. It doesn't actually put the tab in the edit box. It will actually take me out of the edit box. So to click on save, I could keep hitting tab until I get to save. I could hit tab one time just to get out of my edit box and then hit enter because that's the default button. Or I could just hit Alt-S at any point and it will save it as well. So let me hit Alt-S. I'm holding down Alt and tapping S.
Document WordPad. Rich text window.
I'm going to silence that with Control, but I'm back inside my WordPad window. Now to bring up that help again, I'm going to do Control Shift question mark.
Dialog. Application help. Application information. I don't forget about red to end Control Shift R. Edit box.
And it put me right back in this edit box for this help, and it read me that information. Now that generic rich edit control information we heard before is still there. I would just have to tab down to it. But it just recognized that I had some context-sensitive help specific to this application, and it brought that up for me by default. So that just shows you how powerful this help, context-sensitive help or help application dialog really is, and we hope that you will actually refine it to make notes and things like that for you in certain parts of your application. And from our factory set files, we'll constantly be updating this context-sensitive help as well. Let me just escape out of the help to go back into WordPad.
Rich text with.
Silencing that with the control key. Another good key stroke that you want to remember is the key describer. If you're sitting inside of an application and you cannot remember, first of all, maybe where how your keyboard is laid out, you want to find out, is that the F10, F12, without actually hitting it and modifying your application. Or you want to find out, what is a windowize command? Is I think this is readline, but it's not doing what I want. Or I think this is the application help, but it's not doing what I want. Well, you can actually go into a key describer mode, which basically freezes your keyboard except for system commands. A system command would be like Control Escape to bring up the start menu, or Control W, which is a system shortcut to launch WindowEyes. Those system commands aren't being overridden by WindowEyes, but the application commands are being overridden, and WindowEyes itself is being overridden. So to get into the key describer mode, you again use the insert key. So if you're using the numeric keypad insert, you need to make sure numlock is off or you'll get a zero out of it. But I'm going to hold down the insert key on the numeric keypad. And while holding it down, I'm going to tap one on the top of the keyboard. So not one on the numeric keypad, but one on the top of the keyboard. So insert one.
Key describer on.
It says key describer on. At this point, I'm basically safe other than the system keys that I talked about. Or an alt tab is one of those system keys that we don't block. Alt-Tab will actually take activation away from where you are. If we see that there's a focus change or an application, an activation change of some sort, we also take you out of key describer mode automatically. And this is just to kind of keep you from getting too confused of where we're sort of locking up the keyboard and we're not. But inside of WordPad now, I can just press keys. I'm going to type in A, B, C, D, E. It's not putting that text inside of my document because I'm in key describer mode. All it's doing is saying what the key does. Let me hit escape.
Escape.
Let me hit F12.
F12.
Let me hit the insert key.
Insert.
Let me hit caps lock.
Caps on.
Hit it again.
Caps off.
Okay. That's a system key too, where it actually did its job. It actually turned caps on and caps off. But all the other keys are going to remain dormant as you press them, other than, well, the Windows key, which brings up the start menu, that type of thing. And that will change focus and take me out of key describer mode. But I could tap the Control key.
Control.
Tap the Shift key.
Shift.
Those are just reading the keys. Now let me tap a key that we just heard about. Remember the application help, which was Control Shift question mark? Let me hold down Control.
Control.
Shift.
Shift.
And hit question mark.
Question. Application help. Accesses the help for the current focus window. This help can be changed by the user.
Now there, what it told me was the keystrokes, of course, as I press them, but it also told me that that's the application help and gave me a very short description of what that particular function does. So let's look at some other keys. Remember reading relative to the cursor, Control Numpad left arrow would actually read the current character underneath the cursor position. Well, let's try that. I'm going to hold down Control.
Control.
And hit the left arrow key.
Left arrow. Character. Voice is the character containing the cursor. If you press this key twice in a row, the character is pronounced phonetically in the speech rate 2 settings below the current screen voice rate.
There you go. Remember we did Control 5 to read the current line? Control Center on the numeric keypad. Let me
control.
Try that again. There's Control and Center.
Center. Line. Voice is the line containing the cursor. If no cursor is present, perform the speech summary.
All right. And if you remember, Control-Shift-B was the mouse boundary when we talked about how to read relative to the mouse. So I'm going to do Control-Shift-B.
Control-Shift-B. Mouse boundary rotor. Rotors between areas of the screen that the mouse has access.
There you go. So that's an excellent way to get a quick description of what a hotkey is, if it is a particular hotkey, and of course, just the keys themselves. Now I'm going to go, the way to get out of the key describer, other than changing activation or focus, is to hit the keystroke again. So I'm going to go ahead and hit insert one.
Insert one, key describer off.
And now key describer is back off. The next hotkey we want to talk about is called speak summary. And again, we use this in a couple places, but if I do Control Shift S, and I'll hold Control Shift and S.
Rich text window. This is a test for the misreading hotkeys tutorial.
So it just tells us where we are and the contents of that. If I'm on a button, it will tell me the button. If I'm in a list view, it'll show me or speak to me the item that's currently selected. It's a summary of where you are at. So if you walk up to a machine cold, this is one of the hotkeys that you might want to press, speak summary. And also what we've done with, remember the read current line with the cursor position, which was Control 5. Now, if you have a cursor moving around inside a word processor, for instance, you have a cursor. But if you're inside of a dialog sitting on a button, you're not going to have a cursor. But if you do Control Center on the numeric keypad, it will read the line underneath the cursor, if there is a cursor. Now, if there's not a cursor, it will just immediately do what a Control Shift S would have done. So it'll do the same thing as a speak summary. The reason we've done this is we wanted one keystroke that will read you the line if there's a cursor, or if there's not a cursor, go ahead and do a speak summary. So we recommend Control 5 or Control Center on the numeric keypad be a key that you become very familiar with, because again, if you have a cursor, it will read the line under the cursor. If you don't have a cursor, it will do what a speak summary does. Now, if you do have a cursor and you want speak summary, well, then, of course, you do the Control Shift S to be able to get that. Another nice keystroke that's worth remembering, especially if you've got message boxes that are popping up and you want it to read them again, is Control Shift W. This will read the active window contents, all of the active window from top to bottom, left to right, all the way down. Now, typically, again, it's used for a message box to reread it, but I'm sitting inside WordPad. Let me do Control Shift and W.
Document WordPad. File F pull down. Edit E pull down. View V pull down. Insert I pull down. Format O pull down. Help page pull down. Arial. 10. Western. 1. 2. 3. 4. 5. 7. This is a test for the misreading hotkeys tutorial. Press F1.
So there what it did was it actually read me the entire contents of all the text inside my WordPad window, regardless if my WordPad window is maximized or not. You heard the menu bar going across. You heard Arial 10, Western, that's up in the toolbar. You heard the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that's a ruler that's being displayed. Then you heard the contents that I had typed in. Then you heard for help press F1, which was the status line down there. Again, if I'm in a dialog box, Control Shift W, wherever I'm at, it will read the active window. If you want to hear the title bar of the active application window, you can just do Control Shift T. Now remember when I did Control Shift W, that will do it too, because it starts reading from the window from the top, and the title bar is always at the top, but it also reads all the other garbage. Let me just do Control Shift T to read the title and status of my active window. Let's hear what it says.
Document WordPad maximized.
So Document WordPad, that's the title that I visually see up on the top of my active window, and it also said maximized, which is telling me the WordPad window is taking up the full contents of my computer screen. And that's actually a good thing. Screen readers, initially anyway, all they could do was read text from the screen. That's how they got their name initially. Now they're a lot smarter now, and they can actually read information that's not visible anymore, but there's still a lot of cases where it can only read what's currently being displayed on the screen. So it's always a good idea to make sure that your applications are maximized so that you have the maximum amount of content being displayed on the screen. Now, sighted users a lot of time will like to make the windows smaller so that they can have multiple windows open at the same time, and they can visually look between the different applications. But from a blind perspective, it's not such an advantage to do that because typically what you would do is you would just change activation to that window, so you might as well just leave that window maximized. So you can be basically alt-tabbing between maximized windows as opposed to just glancing back and forth and or clicking between the applications as a sighted user might do. Now, to show you how to actually maximize or restore your windows, most applications are going to have a system pull-down menu, and the quickest way to open up that system pull-down menu, along with their file menu and help menu and things like that that they typically have, you can just hold down the Alt key and hit the space bar. Now again, this is typically an application keystroke that all applications will use, but remember I said there's no rule that's always true 100% of the time with Windows, it seems like. But I'm going to hit the Alt key and tap space.
Space. System pull-down. Restore R.
It said system pull down because that's the type of menu that I'm in. First item that it highlights is restore. Now, if I hit enter on restore, it will take me from being maximized and put me to the position that it was prior to being maximized. Let me just move down one with the arrow key through this menu.
Move M disabled.
Move allows me to move a window around on the screen. Now, it's disabled because it's maximized. I can't move a maximized window. It's already taking up the full contents of the screen. Down again.
Size S disabled.
Let's use size the keyboard. Both these move and size options allow you to move and size the window from the keyboard, which is actually a nice accessibility thing that Microsoft added. A sighted user is not going to use these options. They're going to grab the mouse, and they're either going to drag the window around to move it, or they're going to move the mouse pointer to one of these sides or edges, and they're going to then resize it. Remember when we were talking about the mouse pointer and how we read the mouse pointer position icon that it changes to? They would go till they get to a sizing arrow of some sort and then drag the window around to size it. Let me down arrow again.
Minimize N.
Minimize actually takes the application, just puts it down on the taskbar. That way it just gets it out of view and puts it down on the taskbar completely out of view. Still running, of course, it's just out of view. Down again.
Maximize X disabled.
Maximize will then guarantee to make the window maximized. Now, of course, that option is disabled because we already are maximized. Down arrow again.
Close Alt+F4.
Close or Alt+F4. Remember I said Alt+F4 will typically close applications, and that's because they have this particular option here. If I were to hit enter, it would close the application, or if I hit Alt+F4, it would close the application, or if I went to its file menu and selected exit, it would close the application. Lots of ways to do the same thing. Let me down arrow one more time.
Restore R.
That wrapped me around back to the top and put me back on the restore option. I want to just show you this. I'm going to hit enter.
Menu closed. Rich text window. This is a test for the misreading hot.
I'm going to silence that with control, but now visually the WordPad window is not taking up the full contents of my computer screen. Now, we have ways that you could actually determine how big it really is compared to your screen resolution and things. That's beyond this tutorial. But just take my word for it. I can actually see now text around this. I'm actually seeing icons from my desktop because WordPad and WindowEyes are the only two applications I'm running. WindowEyes is minimized to the taskbar, and all I have behind WordPad now is my desktop with its icons. But if I do my Read Current Title Bar hotkey, which is Control-Shift-T, let's hear what we get this time.
Document WordPad Normal.
It says Document WordPad Normal. That means that it is not maximized. So if something's not reading quite right for you, it might be because the application is not maximized. So I'm going to go ahead and maximize it now with Alt-Space.
Space. Restore R disabled.
So now again, it starts me at restore, but it's disabled because it's already restored. It's not maximized. It's not minimized. But I can just hit a shortcut of X to maximize it. So basically, Alt-Space X will maximize it. So here's my X.
X. Menu closed. Rich text window.
And it said menu closed and put me back in the rich edit box and started reading that. And I can verify that with Control-Shift-T again.
Document WordPad maximized.
There you go. Another hotkey I'd like to talk about is the status line hotkey. Most applications do have a status line, and typically that status line is at the bottom of the application window. WindowEyes has a command called status line, control insert S as in status. That will, if a window is designated as being a status window, WindowEyes will find it no matter where it is. Sometimes the status line isn't necessarily the last line on your window. It could be somewhere else. And if it's tagged as a status window, WindowEyes will automatically find it and read its content. If there are more than one status windows, WindowEyes will find them all and read them. Now, if it doesn't find a status window, then it just says, okay, I don't find any status windows. I'm going to assume the last line on your window is the status line, and that's what it's going to read. And that's the case in WordPad. WordPad doesn't have an actual status window marked as status anyway. But it does have what's conferred to as a status line at the bottom of the window. It just happens to be just text that they put down there. But I'm going to go ahead and do Control Insert S as in status. Let's see what we get.
For help, press F1.
It said, for help, press F1. Now, that's exactly what's down on the bottom on my status line inside Microsoft WordPad. So it's a very quick way of just finding out what the status line is for your particular application. We also talked about the read marked block hotkey. Remember when we selected some text? I'm going to do Control Shift left arrow to select a word.
Tutorial selected.
And now if I want to read what my current selection is, I do Control Shift M for marked block.
Tutorial.
It just reads it. So that's a great key as you're selecting text especially. We also have two more hotkeys that really make more sense when I'm inside a dialog, and that's field name and field data. So I'm going to go ahead and go into my WordPad format
file
menu. Alt O.
Font,
hit enter for
F dialog.
Font.
Menu closed. Dialog. Font. Font F. Arial. 39 of 274. Compo. Edit box.
Wow, a lot of fonts that I have here, font names, that I could move between to change. In my case, I still have the word tutorial selected. If I wanted to change its font, I brought up this font dialog. Again, I just did an Alt-O and hit Enter to go to font. And now I'm sitting at the font edit box, allowing me to type in the name of the font or up and down arrow to the font I want. If I hit down arrow, for instance, it would go to
Arial Black.
If I go back up.
Of 274. Arial. 39 of 274.
So I'm on Arial, which is 39 of 274, I think it said. But let's say that I want to hear this content without actually arrowing. I want to read the field name that I'm on, meaning the font is the field name that I'm in. The Arial is the field data that I'm sitting in. So if I want to read the field name, I do Control-Shift-N for name. And I'm going to do that now.
Font F, Arial.
So it just tells me I'm in font F, Arial, because Arial was also part of the font name there, our field name. And I'm going to do now Control-Shift-D.
Arial. Arial.
And it just reads Arial, but it reads it twice because in this particular case, I have an edit box with Arial, and right below that, I have a list box with Arial, and that's why these things are kind of double reading on me. Let me actually tab over to a button to show you how this works as well.
Font
tab,
L-Y.
Tab,
size S.
Tab.
Effects. Strikeout. Hey.
Well,
checkbox.
Okay, we're on a checkbox here right now. Let me do these here. So I'm going to do Control-Shift-N.
Effects.
And Control-Shift-D.
Strikeout. Checkbox. Unchecked.
So in this case, the field name was effects and the field data was strikeout. So in a checkbox, it works that way. Just depends on the control of how that actually works. Let me go again to a button. I thought I was going to get there. Tab,
okay.
Tab. There we go.
Button.
I'm on the OK button. I just hit tab several times to get to OK. Let me do Control Shift N. Nothing. Control Shift D.
OK. Button.
So on the Control Shift N, there actually is not a field name. So that's why we actually got a little ding. I don't know if we picked that up. And it didn't read anything. And Control-Shift-D is actually the button text. It's the data of the button, which is the button name, OK in this case. So those are also some good keys. Control-Shift-N for field name, Control-Shift-D for field data. Let me escape out of the font dialog.
Document WordPad.
Control to silence that. Back inside my WordPad document area. Another key you might find useful is the time and date. If you just hit Insert T, let me do that now. Insert down with T.
12:04 p.m. Sunday, September 14, 2008.
It's just a quick time and date, and this uses your system settings to automatically read the text that you have your system set up. So no matter what region you're in or how you like to hear your time and date, it's going to go to the operating system, find out your preferred settings for your region, and it will read the time and date the way that you have it set up. That key press can be pressed at any time, a great way to get the time and date. Another keystroke that's also very nice, especially if you're using laptops, it really doesn't make much sense if you're using it for a desktop, but to get the battery level of your laptop. Now, I could go down to my system tray and I could grope around depending on my laptop, which may or may not have a battery setting down there or however it's set up and that type of thing. Or I can just press, in my case, Insert Q, which is the default keystroke. So I'm going to hold down the Insert key and hit the Q.
Estimated battery charge 95% charging.
So it said estimated battery charge 95% and it's charging. Again, my battery is dead because I've had it plugged in for so long that it's not able to charge to 100% anymore. But if this were actually, if I had it unplugged and it were draining down, I could just hit that constantly and I could very quickly get the battery level. Sighted people may or may not have the advantage of just looking down in the sys tray very quickly and they can get a little bar that tells them about how full their charge is at that point. This is just a great way to be able to get through that. The final keystroke I want to talk about is the bypass key press, and that's Insert B. Bypass is just used if you have a windowized hotkey that's colliding with your application key press. Now, in my case, inside WordPad, we don't have that, but let's just pretend that Control-Shift-T, which reads the title bar of WordPad. Let's just say that had a functionality inside WordPad, meaning if I weren't running WindowEyes, Control-Shift-T would do a function inside WordPad. Well, if I have WindowEyes running inside WordPad and I press Control-Shift-T, WindowEyes typically wins that battle, meaning WindowEyes sees the key pressed before the application. That's the point of a hotkey, is that it sees it before the application sees it, does its thing, and stops the application from seeing that key press, so it doesn't do its normal functionality. So if I were to hit Control-Shift-T, WindowEyes would always read WordPad's title. It would win. But if I wanted WordPad to actually see the Control-Shift-T, well, you could go in and actually change the hotkey. And we showed you quickly when we were talking about the menu options of how you can go to the hotkey dialog. You could go down into the miscellaneous section, find the title status hotkey option, and change it from Control-Shift-T to something that doesn't collide with WordPad. Or if it's just you'd rather leave it Control-Shift-T because you like that, but you also want to occasionally have access to the Control-Shift-T for WordPad, you can hit the bypass key. So if you hit Insert B, for instance, let me just do Insert B.
Bypass.
And now let me do Control-Shift-T.
T.
It just said T because it was bypassed. It was no longer a WindowEyes hotkey at that point. It was a WordPad keystroke. And in this case, WordPad doesn't do anything with Control-Shift-T. But if it did, it would have done its actual functionality. So it's a great way to just temporarily bypass. You can always rename the hotkeys to be other keystrokes so that they don't collide at all. Now there are many, many, many more hotkeys that you may find useful in your usage of your computer with WindowEyes on ways you want to be able to read information, manipulate information, things like that. But these are some of the highlights of the keystrokes we think are most commonly used. And so we felt that it deserved a tutorial section on its own. But please read through the entire WindowEyes manual on the section of hotkeys to go through all of the hotkeys that are available to you. Some of those hotkeys are going to be relevant in other applications. Some may be relevant all the time for you. Some you may not care about at all. We obviously have to work with all users in all applications. So there's a wealth of keystrokes to be able to read information quickly at your touch. So the manual is the source for that. Let's move on to the next section.